Welcome back, friends, to the Dunked On Basketball Podcast. We've already done the Eastern Conference over-unders, and now Danny is back to do the West. If you haven't listened to the East yet, it is the previous podcast in the queue, so listen to that. Danny, looking forward to doing the West?
Absolutely. I think that the West is it's more intellectually interesting, I'll say that.
Yeah, it is, and we should probably start with a team that made the playoffs last year quite comfortably, but we're thinking is going to take a substantial step back this year. The over-under reflects that. That is the Dallas Mavericks. What is their over-under?
It is set at 38.5, and they won 50 last year, so that would be a 11-win drop-off for them.
Yeah, it's you really forget that this team won 50 games last year because they had that miserable performance against the Rockets in the first round of the playoffs. Chandler Parsons didn't even play at all. Rondo basically went home after game two when it became clear that they weren't going to play him anymore. And they really only showed signs of life in one game. And then now there is all the controversy. And this is a team even before Rondo got there that had one of the best offenses in NBA history. So now, the landscape has changed quite a bit for them to have the 38.5 over-under. Which way are you leaning on this one?
I'm leaning under, and I'm leaning kind of strongly under. As much as I like Rick Carlisle, I just don't see how this team puts it together. Their best case is, you know, respectable, but they don't have depth at all, and they're relying a lot on flawed, injured, or old players, sometimes more than one of those two.
Is there any way this team is going to stop anybody?
Not really. I mean, I guess you could put together a conceptual lineup that, you know, Zaza and you had Devin Harris, and if Wesley Matthews was 100%, but even the best case scenario is not strong.
Yeah, and Deron Williams, if he's playing the two, I think he could be fine there. Parsons is below average on the wing, but not a complete sieve. Justin Anderson has a nice reputation and a good NBA body coming out of Virginia. J.J. Barea and John Jenkins aren't going to be very good. Dirk is just a disaster. They don't really have anybody who plays power forward behind him, who's really an NBA quality player. And then at center, you've got Zaza and, again, a bunch of just shots in the dark that you hope are going to hit, but, you know, none of them are particularly likely to. And even JaVale, who's probably the best of those guys as far as giving you some good minutes, he still hasn't really, he hasn't been cleared for jumping extremely high yet. So, and he basically has missed, you know, most of the last 2 years at this point. So we don't know what kind of shape he'll be in, even if he is healthy.
One small CBA nerdy thing I wanted to ask you about, because I don't know how much we're going to talk about Dallas for the next little bit, is what do you think of their idea of basically partially guaranteeing a bunch of different guys for kind of that last or roster spot or last two roster spots?
Yeah, no reason not to do it other than just money. And they're a cap team this year, so their salary is never going to be able to get that high. Mark Cuban has plenty of money. Why not? It seems like a good idea to get some of these guys in. But nonetheless, especially at the big positions, there aren't that many. I mean, maybe Dwight Powell could break out a little bit. Maurice Endor had a couple of nice moments in Summer League, but, you know, is not no one that anyone had ever heard of before that. And so really, yeah, you give yourself a little bit better a shot of filling out the roster and hope some of these guys can contribute. There's no reason not to do it other than just money. So I like that.
The only issue I have with it is that they decided to guarantee D'Alembert and Villanueva on top of that. If they had had a really open competition for those spots, I think that would have helped them. I'm not completely convinced that Villanueva is going to be better than all but one of those guys.
So just then release him. It doesn't hurt him.
That's true. That's a good point.
I mean, teams are loathe to release fully guaranteed contracts a lot of times, but it sounds like they are quite willing to throw away some sunk costs to just get more bites at the apple at finding some low-level guys who can contribute.
And at the minimum, somebody might claim them off waivers, too.
All right, we're going a bit far afield here.
Sure we are.
You're saying under, you know, I believe in Carlisle. I fear, though, that this is the year that Dirk is not already a huge defensive liability, that it's going to become clear that he is not sort of the one-man offense, got to stick to him in the pick and roll at all times. You know, I think teams are going to have a lot of success switching against him if they need to. So, yeah, I am going – and then there's a lot of health question marks, Matthews and Chandler Parsons among them. So, yeah, I think I ultimately will go under as well on this one. I was torn, but now thinking about it, I think I'll go there.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I mean, I had a question on Twitter last night of whether the chances or whatever that they keep their pick, because their pick is top seven protected, and I think that's something else that weighs on the under here, is that if it goes badly, they'll want to just have it go really badly.
Yeah, that's true, right? I mean, you kind of think, all right, they're going to be in contention for the playoffs, and if it's clear that they're not, then yeah. You know, it's, hey, Wes Matthews, you know, we want him to recover. Let's shut him down. Chandler Parsons going into free agency. Yeah, you underwent this hybrid microfracture surgery. Take as much time as you need. Dirk, we want you to be healthy for next year. Could see a lot of that kind of stuff happening. That's a good point. I mean, now they might be hard pressed even to reach that top seven, even so, but there will be the incentive, as you noted. So the plan for this episode, we're going to go through each team with the over-unders. We'll also talk about title odds. Then we're going to go back between this Western Conference and the East, pick our best bets, and then also just take $100 basically and allocate it among those bets and see who ends up doing better. Neither of us are betting men, but this is kind of fun. And so that's what the itinerary is going to be. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about DraftKings.com. And we're only a few weeks into football season, but it already feels like the playoffs at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, so much better than their competitors, where millionaires are being crowned all season long. So you can play where you want, when you want, fantasy football on demand, millions of dollars in prizes being paid out each week. And if your fantasy football team is not very good, and you want another bite at the apple, or if you are awesome at fantasy football and want more of a chance to make that mean something to you, go for it. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. You can use the promo code CAPSPACE, and we appreciate you doing that. It's all one word, because then they know that you came from us, and their advertising is working, and they will keep advertising, which is fantastic for us and keeping the podcast going. If you use the CAPSPACE code with your first deposit, you can get into this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter that cap space code. You get free entry at DraftKings.com. All right, Denver Nuggets. This is a team that lost Ty Lawson. You would think that with maybe Mike Malone being a coaching upgrade over Brian Shaw that they could be better, but the downgrade from Lawson, even with him, you know, having some alcohol problems, to Emmanuel Mudiay, even with the potential he has, is probably going to be a major one. And Yusuf Nurkic may not be ready to start the season after his torn patellar tendon. But they are going to have Gallo back, all that. What did they win last year?
They won 30 last year, so this would actually be a downgrade for them. They could lose three less games and still beat the over-under.
Hmm. Yeah, this is a tough call for me. It's 26.5, right?
Yes. So 26.5. So they need to win 27 to go over.
Yeah, this is actually one of the tougher ones on the board. This is a team that's in a pretty clear rebuilding mode. They have some veteran talent. They could also maybe trade some of these guys. Although Gallo and Chandler cannot be traded until 6 months after they sign their extensions, but then they can, and they sign those in July. So they could be traded by the deadline. I am going to go under by just a hair on this one.
I'm going to go under too, and I like Mudiay a lot.
Oh, man, we never differ. We differ on like two of these.
Well, the reasoning for me is just that I don't see much of an incentive for them to push. I guess it is true because they have the pick swap with the Knicks that could give them more of a reason if the Knicks really eat it.
But, well, yeah, actually, I guess that, but if the Knicks are really bad, yeah, then that might actually be an impetus to try harder.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, that's what you were saying. So that's a good point.
But putting the keys to in the hands of a rookie point guard is a lot to ask. Also, while Lawson had his trouble, a lot of that, from what I remember and from what I understand, was after the season. He played in 75 games last year. So you're not...
He's one of the highest assist men in the league.
Exactly. So that's a big change. And you and I are both fans of Danilo Gallinari, and he played well in Eurobasket. But they also don't have a ton of depth. Their shooting guard position is just a ton of question marks.
Yeah, it's Harris and Randy Foy apparently are going to be alternating starting to see if there's someone who's going to play. Maybe Moutier will play there alongside Lawson just because they don't have much else.
And they have front court guys that I like, but they don't have that critical mass of functionality yet. They have, you know, Fareed and Nurkic and the forwards we already talked about, but they don't have a ton of players. I also don't trust whatever their second unit is going to be. So I like them. I think that they're on the right path. They might be one of my favorites of the up-and-coming teams just in terms of who they have, but it's going to take them some time. This could be for them kind of, I think the parallel might be what Orlando was last year. You know, that they're, you know, you see flashes and you see reasons to be optimistic in the future, but they're still trouble now.
Do you think these guys can stop it? Anybody?
No, and that's a big part of the problem. I mean, Fareed has issues at both positions. I mean, as Eklo mentioned in his piece that came out recently, that they scored a lot when Fareed played center, but they couldn't stop anybody. And I don't know exactly what his role is going to be. It's also going to depend on Nurkic, but I don't see anybody there that really gives them that identity. And it's kind of amazing to me that they don't. Harris has defensive potential, but they don't really have that on the perimeter in anybody right now. Moutier has potential, but you're never going to expect a rookie, much less a rookie who barely played last year and is super young, to be a difference maker defensively.
Yeah, and even Nurkic has some good physical tools, but he's young. Young big men aren't that good. He's going to be coming off the injury. Jarrell Arthur is probably the one guy you really look at as a plus defender on this team, but he can't really score unless he somehow develops this long-rumored three-point range this year. So, yeah, this is not a team that I see as having a ton of upside, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think that's the way to put it. Anything else you want to say on them?
Are you eating something?
I was just finishing something. I'll cut that. 14 minutes.
You just assumed that I was going to be talking for so long you could just start eating and finish. Like, you're probably finishing like three whole sandwiches in the amount of time it takes me to stop talking.
Yeah, one enchilada, pretty close.
All right, who's next here?
The Warriors.
You know, other than a roast beef sandwich.
The Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
You and I both know very well. They won 67 last year, and the over-under is a very high but interesting 60.5.
The stuff that they're saying, we're not doing 2 days out of camp, everyone's tired. Even Steve Kerr had some complications from his two back surgeries. He's kind of taking it easy in camp. It sounds like there is not a ton of sense of urgency for this team during the regular season. That's the one thing that gives me pause about that 60.5. I mean, 67 was so good last year. Oh, and the other thing that gives me pause is potential injuries this year, of which they had essentially none last year. 60.5 is a high number. I think that's the highest one I recall seeing in a long time. Can you remember one that was higher than this recently?
I think Miami had one in one of the late LeBron years that was around this, but that's the only...
Like the year after they won the 66 games?
I think so.
Yeah, even then, I don't remember it being that... Or maybe even the first year that he was there.
Any readers that know it, we'd appreciate it.
No, I'd like to just continue speculating when I don't actually know. I much prefer that than knowing the actual answer. Over.
Yep. The way that they don't go over is if Curry gets hurt. Every other player on this team, as long as it's one injury and not three, I feel like they can withstand that. And I think that they will focus less on the regular season, but they beat opponents by 10 last year, and that was sitting their starters. No starter played more than 32 minutes a game last year. If they do you know, if they lower that to 30, which would be crazy, like that's more of a Spurs level thing, I think they're still winning 60.
Yeah, well, that still doesn't get you there. It's 60 and a half.
That I half, meant, that I meant, I'm, I didn't mean exactly 60. I meant at least 60.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this is not when I feel great about it. I don't feel great about picking any. There's always going to be a team that wins 60, just about always in the league, and sometimes even multiple teams. But picking any individual team to do it always seems like a little bit of a fool's errand. But hey, you know, this is the best team probably statistically since the merger. You would think if anyone should be projected for this, or I'm sorry, not the merger, since the Jordan Bulls, probably. If anyone should be projected for this, it should be them. So, yeah, I'll do it begrudgingly.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about their title odds now or wait?
Yeah, no, let's talk about them. 9-2, right?
Yeah.
This is my best bet on the board.
Absolutely. I mean, that's because we talked about on the Eastern Conference about how Cleveland's odds seemed a little bit strong. The Warriors, if they make it to the finals in their full health, I mean, I think they have a very good shot. And they're the best team right now. I think you have to give them the best chance in the West of making the finals. So 9-2 is great for them. And we don't have to think about how they would do it. You know, I had that struggle with teams like Miami in the East. I don't have that with the Warriors because they already did it. And they could be, I worked on a piece. It won't be out by the time this is out for Hardwood Paroxysm about how I think there's a very real chance that when they're healthy, this year's Warriors team is better than last year's team just because of what they can incorporate. And I think I actually like some of the small moves they made too. So, but obviously they're not going to be healthier, but if they can end up at that point, then that's really all that matters. It's not really, the regular season record isn't as important.
Yeah. They got a lot of young guys who can improve or at least stay the same. Really, the only key cogs that you might look at as declining are Bogut and Iguodala. I am a little worried about Bogut this year. I think it's possible that he just becomes too much of an offensive liability to stay on the floor as much this year. But, yeah, you look at Barnes getting better. I think Clay can get better. Even Draymond Green can get a little better. He looked like he was in pretty good shape from a body composition standpoint when we saw him at Media Day. Yeah, I don't think they're going to push that hard during the regular season. But they've got enough depth that they don't even necessarily need to. So we'll see where they end up. But yeah, I'm going over for them, and I like those 9-2 title odds, which is actually a little bit lower or a little bit worse odds than the Spurs.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I'll add is we talked about the risk with Bogut. Bogut was the second best rim protector in the league per Nylon Calculus last year, and they could win the finals. They could win every round of the playoffs without him playing. That's insane.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, they would still beat Memphis, I was going to say, that they needed him against Memphis. But I think they could still beat them anyway, especially because I don't expect them to be as good this year. All right, Houston is next.
Houston at 54.5 wins when they won 56 last year.
Whew. Now, that 56 is a little misleading. Their point differential, I think, was like in the mid-threes. So you would think of them as kind of being more of a low-50s team. But then Howard didn't play that much last year. They had a ton of injury concerns. Beverly, they got Ty Lawson now, which is good. I expect that Harden may not have quite as good of a year this year. Ariza is getting at the age where he might start to regress a little bit. So that's a concern as well, but they might start getting contributions from guys like KJ McDaniels. They could play small a little bit more if he starts to become a viable rotation player. You would expect Terrence Jones to play a little bit better. Demo, we don't know because there's some concern about his back, which Ben Dowson and I talked about last night. But yeah, I think overall you have to think that this team in terms of their quality is going to be better than last year, right? Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I love the over here. Dwight Howard played 41 games last year, and they did that without as good of a backup center as they have now, assuming Clint Capella can improve, which I think everybody expects that he will. They also only got 33 games from Terrence Jones, so they got about 100 combined from Demo and Jones, which is not nearly enough I mean, it's possible, you know, that with money.
They're going to miss Josh Smith, though, don't you think?
They only had Josh Smith for the second half of the year, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think he joined the team no later than January.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I was splitting it in terms of the calendar year, not in terms of, you're right. And,
yeah, because Detroit was 5-23,
went this whole time without mentioning Ty Lawson.
I mentioned him.
Biggest weakness last year was the lack of a creator other than James Harden. And now they have one. I'm not sure if they will split their minutes or how they're going to exactly do that, but he gives them something that I think makes them a much better regular season team, because it will bog down less, and if they play Lawson with the second units, which I really hope they do, that gives that unit a crazy good anchor. I mean, he would probably be the best second unit player in the league, even if he starts.
Yeah, I will go over as well. I actually kind of seized on that initially as one of my most obvious ones, but then I kind of started to walk it back a little bit. But yeah, I still would go over, but I'm not as gung-ho about it, I don't think, as you are. But what's your predicted number of wins for this team?
58.
Wow.
I think they're going to be a great regular season team. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they ended up with the 2 seed again.
Yeah, 58 wins is a lot of wins, man.
I know.
All right, who's next?
Next up, the Los Angeles Clippers, another team in contention for everything. And they're at 56.5 wins, and last year they won 56.
Does it make sense to you that Houston has a lower over-under than the Clippers?
No, it really doesn't, especially because last year was closer to the high watermark, I think, for the Clippers than it was for the Rockets, considering...
Well, they were terrible for the first 2 months of the year. Don't forget that. Blake Griffin had a pretty miserable regular season.
Are we sure that he's not just toning it down for the regular season now? Because, I mean, we saw more from him in the playoffs than we did in the regular season.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. But remember, he was coming off that back fracture.
That's true.
That he didn't play in the World Cup because of that. So that could have been part of why he took a while to get ramped up. And then he had the elbow injury where he missed almost a month, I think. So that, and they still won the 56. But I think ultimately the reason I'm going to go under is I think maybe finally this is the year that Chris Paul isn't capital letters Chris Paul anymore, that he may not be a top 3-point guard in the league anymore this year, but he has certainly belied that prediction in the past recently as last year.
This might sound crazy to people considering I just picked the Rockets to go over, but picking a team to win 55 or more games and they have to win 57 is a lot. And the Clippers, I can certainly see it. You know, they're a team that you don't have to pitch the best case scenario because we know how good they are. But I think they need almost everything to go right. Chris Paul is one of the big issues with it. We still don't really know what they're going to do with the three. And I also see them as a franchise that might not care as much about gunning it for the regular season, especially considering the older players they have on their team. And Paul Pierce, you know, he can be a voice for moderation in that sense. And so I don't see them. I see the Rockets gunning it for seed more than I see the Clippers doing it, considering everybody involved.
It's funny. My head says under because it's just such a high number, and history just shows that no matter how good you think a team is, it's pretty unlikely that they beat those numbers. I mean, you know, Cleveland, I think, was like 58.5, 59 or something last year. You know, and it's just, it's so hard to win more than 57 games. They've never won more than 57 games during the Chris Paul era, I don't think. So, but then I think, wow, you know, look how good they were last year, and now they actually have a real bench, and, maybe Blake should be coming into his prime, and so is DeAndre. But yeah, I think ultimately I will go under as well. What are their title odds?
Oh, their title odds are 8-1, right? Which I think is way too strong.
Yeah, that's no good. What's Houston's title odds? They're like 21.
20-1.
Yeah, that's insane to me. What about, like, is it possible that Houston has a higher upside than the Clippers do? I kind of think that they do.
I think they do.
And the reason I say that is because if you get everyone clicking on all cylinders on this team, they don't really have a weakness anymore. Maybe you could say their defense in the backcourt with Lawson and Harden. You know, that those guys, but they still managed to make it to the West Finals starting Prigioni and Jason Terry defensively, and they can always bring in Beverly to put out any fires defensively if they need to. I think that is a team that if everything comes together for them, they have everything. Whereas the Clippers are always going to have that two-way wing weakness next to J.J. Redick, and you just don't know who on this team is going to guard a good wing threat from the other team.
And if you want to think about it even in terms of the other two contenders, strongest contenders for the title in terms of the Warriors and the Spurs, I think that the Rockets give both of them more trouble than the Clippers do. I think if a Clippers-Warriors series happened right now, I don't think the Warriors sweat it too much. I mean, obviously it would be competitive, but I think that the Rockets offensively, it's hard to see how you stop them because Lawson and Harden are both amazing drivers. They have guys who can hit open shots. And what I like so much about this Houston team is that they have guys, assuming that Harden is healthy and all of that, the other pieces they have, they can try somebody else if it doesn't work. You know, if Ariza takes a step down, they have Corey Brewer, they have KJ McDaniels. If Terrence Jones struggles, they have Monty Unis. You know, they have guys. And yeah.
And they have guys who are young enough to really take a leap, which exactly. The Clippers kind of don't.
Yeah, and the Clippers have guys that I like, but they don't have players that I think can really grow into that mold, that you know, that player that can change his series. Like, I think that they have a lot of guys that I like, but, and also, if Paul Pierce is more of a power forward at this point in his career, that also really changes their dynamics, because I don't trust Pierce and Griffin playing together at the 4 and the 5.
Yeah, I think they're really limited from playing Pierce at the 4, except in bench units, because Blake is not good enough defensively really to scale up as a center, and then you're taking one of your best players off the court in DeAndre Jordan as well. So, yeah, it's a little worrisome. Also, this Wes Johnson might start. I see the thinking, right? The thinking is he seems like he'd be a good defensive player. We want to limit Pierce's minutes. Pierce can't really match up with quality wings on the other team. And Lance Stevenson, we want him to run with the second unit. His lack of shooting could compromise the spacing. Wes Johnson at least shoots it with nice form, even though it doesn't really go in that much. But come on, this would be like a Keith Bogan starting in 2011 type of situation. And I think you could really be sabotaging that amazing starting unit to play him for 6 token minutes at the start of each half before you get him out of there.
Yeah, and what concerns me also is that I don't know if it fails. I don't know how they upgrade. And also something we haven't talked about with the Clippers in terms of title odds is they don't have a swingman defender at all. You know, like if James Harden goes off, who are they going to put on him?
Lance could be that guy. He defended LeBron credibly on those Pacers teams, but we don't know if Lance can.
Is Doc going to trust Lance to start?
We'll see.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know. It's.
I agree with you that he's the plug.
There are some question marks. Yeah. I agree, but they just have a lot of great players, and their bench isn't going to be a complete sinkhole anymore. So that's reason for optimism. So I will go under, but any of these teams, you feel a little wary of taking the under when you see the kind of firepower that they have. Who's next? Lakers?
A similarly great team, the Los Angeles Lakers.
What's their number?
29.5.
29.5. I'll let you go first on this one.
They are going to be so bad defensively.
So you're going over in that case.
I don't see how they could be. All they have is Roy Hibbert defensively, and Bass if he can do it. But not only are they bad defensively, but they're young in a way other than the old guys. They're young in a way that you expect them to be bad early. You know, like D'Angelo Russell. It's not his fault if he struggles as an NBA player. He's young, and he played in the Big Ten last year. He was the best player on a team that wasn't that good in a conference that wasn't that good, and he went second overall to a terrible team. Also, we don't know what position he can defend. And Clarkson isn't much more polished at this point. So I have trouble seeing how they beat teams other than just going off and dropping like 120. And I don't think that's going to happen very often, especially with their coach. So I don't think they're going to win many more games than they did last year, which puts me in the under camp pretty clearly.
What did they win last year?
21.
Yeah. That's bad. They do not have much in terms of tanking incentives. It's only top three protected. But, you know, if you really don't start doing too well, you can kind of get your odds up of jumping into the top three, which they in fact did last year, to keep their pick, which was top five protected last year. I think they were the number four seed, quote unquote, in the lottery. This was also an underratedly terrible offensive team last year. And that's one thing that I think people are kind of thinking they might be okay on offense. The defense is the big problem. I disagree. And if you really think about it, where is the efficient offense coming from for this team?
The efficient offense? Nowhere. And do you think they're going to run enough to get points in transition that way?
No, and I don't think that... I mean, maybe they are, but they've got Kobe, who's not going to run. They've got Hibbert, who is not going to run. One of the things about Hibbert, he's better defensively, I think, than anybody else on this team is at anything. But he is a really bad offensive player. He kills you offensively. He can make a mid-ranger, you know, but it's not a quick release, and he's not mobile enough to really get to a spot and get open. He's one of the worst pick and roll centers in the league because he has no explosion, catching on the move, not really his forte. And he can't even really be in the dunker role where he catches dump offs and goes up and scores over people either. He really just, there's not really anywhere that he can stand or anything that he can do offensively where he's not going to gum up the works for everyone else. All he really can do is his post-ups, and he's not really efficient at those either, and that kind of grinds everything to a halt anyway. You know, and he's not going to get fouled. He's going to throw up a 40% hook shot or turnaround or something. So I think he was the biggest thing that kind of held back those Indiana teams from being better offensively than they were, when they kind of, in theory, had quality offensive players at the other positions in some of their better years. So, and then Russell, he's not going to be efficient as a rookie, right? Clarkson, he looked better in summer league, but, you know, I mean, he's still a second year guy and was below the league average in true shooting percentage last year. Not a huge free throw rate. I'm not sure how he really, only took 20% of his shots from downtown. So, and then, you know, Scott loves mid-range jumpers. So you throw all that in, I don't see him being efficient. Kobe, I think we can say he's probably not going to be particularly efficient this year. So then who is it? Maybe Lou Williams, but how much is he really going to play? And I think he's going to regress. He made a ton of contested jumpers last year that I don't know if that's going to sustain itself. So I really think this is going to be a well below average offensive team.
That's a great point. Something else I wanted to mention with them is I have the sneaking suspicion they're going to get rocked on back-to-backs in 3 and 4s. Because they have those older guys. And when you're giving more minutes to the young guys, they're going to struggle a lot. And why I'm pretty strong on the under here is I like to think about teams comparing them to their competition. You know, the teams in the relatively equal level. I can see a lot more ways that the Nuggets beat the Lakers than the Lakers beat the Nuggets. And that isn't to say that, you know, that it won't happen from time to time, but this is a team, the Lakers, that I think will be the underdogs in almost all of their games, and that's hard to win. You know, you're going to get some schedule wins, you're going to get some schedule losses, but, you know, when this team is tied in with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, I think they're going to lose most of those games.
Yeah, that's true, especially if it's throw the ball to Kobe every time. Oh, yeah, we forgot Nick Young, too. He's another guy who could...
I didn't forget Nick Young.
...will not be a source of efficient offense for this team. So, yeah, I think that this is looking to me like a bottom 10 offensive and defensive unit. And so ultimately, I think you got to go under on this team, even though I thought the Hibbert acquisition was okay. Bass is someone who might be a little underrated. Randall is probably going to be terrible defensively, though. And he's another guy I don't see being particularly efficient on offense either. Yeah, it's hard to see how this team can be successful. I do think under the 29.5 is a pretty decent bet the more I think about it.
So, is the reason the Lakers title odds are 200-1 as opposed to 300-1 just because they know that Lakers fans will bet it anyway, and so they might as well just give them worse odds?
Probably, especially in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Like, being so close to L.A.
You want to move on to Memphis?
Yes.
50.5.
Under.
I can see that. Part of my head thinks that, but my heart just still wants them to be better than that. Because they still have talent, but I think where you're going to go with this, and I can understand it, though I am going to tentatively take the over, is all they need is for one link in the chain to go weak, and it all falls apart.
What do you think their net rating was last year?
I know what their differential was. I'm guessing their net rating wasn't that high.
Okay, differential is fine, too.
+3.2, which is a lot closer to a 50-win team than a 55-win team.
Now, give me one. So if we're starting from that baseline, give me one reason this team is going to be better than last year.
My brain is saying Conley missed some time. I honestly not completely sure if he did or
not. Nah, I don't think he missed much. Here, I'll look it up while you're talking. What else you got besides that?
That they could possibly, their young guys will develop a little bit more so they can have some, they can bring in some new blood to the perimeter rotation that will help. So
you're counting on Jordan Adams and those guys to, yeah, Conley played 70 games last year. So yeah, he could play a few more games.
Brandon Wright, if they work in the rotation, I think he could be a nice piece, though I don't think he's going to be a lot better than Kosta Koufos or anything like that. I like Kosta there, and he, you know, they serve different roles, but they could do that. But yeah, I see where you're going with this, and it's probably the right call. You know, it is, but I don't know. Part of it's because I said the over with Memphis last year pretty defiantly, and I ended up being right. But
yeah, I had the over on them last year too, but I think this year is when really it's gonna, you know, Zach Randolph could take a step back. Gasol had really a career year offensively. You have to expect that he's gonna take a step back. Conley could get a little better. He was 27 last year, but also that was a career year, so you might expect a little regression from him. And really, they still kind of don't have a ton on the wings. I mean, Matt Barnes, maybe you could say that he's another guy in the mix that might help them. But at his age, too, how much can he give them? Yeah, considering all that, I think I would go under. I mean, I don't think they're going to, like, miss the playoffs or anything. But I think, you know, 48, 49 wins, 6th, 7th seed, kind of a little more likely for them.
I also wanted to mention that their title odds are 30-1, which is pretty ridiculous considering Houston's are 20-1. I don't really see a path for this Grizzlies team to win the title.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, what's next?
Minnesota, 25.5.
Yeah, all right, let me get this down. You went over on that one, right? So we differ on that one?
We differ on that one.
All right, I feel great about that one.
I know you do and you should, but I can't. that's my one emotional choice.
All right, Minnesota?
Yep.
What are they?
25.5, and they won 16 last year.
I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, so my thought process is this. I think they're better than a 25-win team, but if I am to say to say their outcomes, I think it's a lot more likely that they finish worse than that than better, because they have zero incentive to be good right now, and they have a lot of young guys that I think they're going to finally, you know, they're going to give them minutes. They randomly have 3 veterans, but I don't think any of them are going to get a lot of time. So I think on talent, they're a 29, 30 win team maybe, but when you're at that margin, anything knocks you down, and once you're there, even if you get close to that top point, the incentive to go down is so high. Like, I don't see a reasonable path that this team makes the playoffs. So in those circumstances, I always lean towards the under as long as it's not set at a comically low number.
I think they're going to miss Flip Saunders, which, you know, obviously we wish him the best to recover. We don't know when he might be coming back. Because he had to take a leave of absence due to cancer treatment. But I think Sam Mitchell is probably going to be a downgrade from what he was. Flip wasn't a huge fan of the three-pointer, true, but I still think he's a good basketball technician, and I'm not sure that Sam Mitchell is quite at his level in that regard. So I think they did have a little bit of a downgrade coaching wise. And my biggest concern for them though, is just that Rubio is not going to be healthy, that he's going to have some other injury. He's really only had one fully healthy season in his career. And he still is kind of working his way back from this ankle surgery that he had. He had that horrible sprained ankle right at the start of last year. And yeah, and if they lose him, it's Andre Miller and Tyus Jones or Zach LaVine moving over, and he's, you know, clearly cannot play point guard. So if they have Rubio, I think they would be an okay bet to maybe exceed this, especially if someone like Towns or Wiggins can take a step. But yeah, and maybe even if KG could give him something. That's the other thing too. They're going to be playing KG at power forward, which he's just way too slow to be doing right now. If he were playing at center, I might feel a little better about their defense, but it's hard to imagine still, especially if Rubio is not going to play that much, that their defense will be that good. And they obviously have a long way to go from where they are. Even, and you know, they got Bielitsa too. They definitely have made some upgrades and they have a lot of talent on this team. I just don't think it's going to mesh together that well. So I will go under as well, but certainly could beat that if everything breaks right.
They also have huge issues in terms of spacing. You know, this is a team that they have, right. They have nice back to the basket guards. I actually really like that. And, you know, Towns and Garnett can space it, but a lot of their depth guys, I don't trust them there. And so they're easier to defend than they probably will be in 2 years. And I think this is the year that they need to struggle, and it'll be good that they do that. And they build those lessons and they get another top five pick. And then 2 years from now, that's the guy who maybe it probably won't end up being their James Harden, but is a key part that if they developed this year, they wouldn't have gotten that guy.
New Orleans Pelicans, they're 47.5, right?
Yep. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, so Pelicans won 45 last year, and the only guy of their best players, I'm not counting Omer Asik, even though they just gave him a boatload of money, to play more than 70 games was Tyreke Evans, who played 79. While we can't reasonably expect that Anthony Davis will play all 82 games, considering I believe he never has, I think they will get more games out of him than they did. And their talent is better, I guess. I mean, they're older than people think, so it's not like they're sitting there and they will get a small coaching upgrade. You and I have talked about that before, that it is overstated. But I think that we talked a little bit about, for me, like Charlotte's whole issue of like that was their floor. While 45 was not this team's floor because they still got MVP caliber production from Davis and he played in 70 games, you know, not like 40. I still think that they should do better than they did last year.
So you got the over?
I do. Barely. Tentatively.
Yeah. There's another one of these teams. We had a number of these in the East where a lot of things are going at cross purposes. I am really, really concerned about the health of this team. Jrue Holiday, the stress reaction that they had to pay Philly had to pay them the $3 million for. He's going to be limited 15 minutes a game to start the year. They really need him. They really need a point guard who can shoot the ball, who can defend. Who knows? I mean, even if he makes it to not having the minutes limit anymore, you have to imagine he's not going to play more than 25 until the playoffs. Ryan Anderson, a very injury prone guy. Davis always misses 15 games. Omer Asik always seems to miss a number of games as well. Quincy Pondexter, who was basically saved their season last year. They were pretty much a 500 team until they got him, and he provided solid two-way play on the wing, finally solving that problem. Ben Dowson and I talked about yesterday. He's not going to be ready to start the season. He had kind of a mysterious knee surgery to have a laundry list of issues cleaned up. I hate all of that. On the other hand, this is a team who is already in the top 10 in offense. Probably shouldn't be any worse this year at that, unless the health really craters. And then you've got Darren Erman coming in as a great defensive assistant, Alvin Gentry, to improve a team that was in the 20s in defense. You have to imagine they can't help but improve defensively. And if this is a top 10 offense and even an average defense or slightly above, then you're hitting that 47.5. So I'm really torn. I am ultimately going to go under just because of the health. I think the health is going to trump the coaching. And they also were a little bit lucky to win the 45 games last year. Their net rating was only 0.7.
Right. Yeah. They were. You make good points. That's why it's really on the margin for me. And it's also crazy to think that Davis could be that much better than he was. But when you think about his age, you have to kind of think that he is an anomaly anyway. So you have to go more based on the logic of it than his actual performance.
Yeah, and I also wonder if he really can take another step because he was so unbelievable last year. Maybe he will on the defensive end. That's probably true. Where that happens. But offensively, I mean, just what he was doing in the box score statistics is just ridiculous. So, you know, maybe if you say he's gone so far, he can't take another step. But we probably thought that about him last year, too. All right, so I'm going under. You are over.
Correct.
The Pels.
So right now, you're more pessimistic than me on everyone, right? On the ones we haven't agreed on, you've gone under and I've gone over?
In the West, yeah. I mean, the only two we've disagreed on so far are Memphis and New Orleans.
I don't know if we're going to disagree on the next one, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder at 57.5.
I'll go first this time. Maybe I won't.
Okay.
I'm really struggling with this one. And
I'm not.
What I'm struggling with is, if Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are healthy all year, I think they beat this and, you know, even somewhat comfortably.
And if my sister had wheels, she'd be a wagon.
Yeah. But, and they also have some guys who can fill in for them. They have a lot more players, really, than they've ever had. They don't have that one guy who can do two-way play on the wing. But aside from that, they have plenty of competent guys who they can run out there, you know, I mean, they're not going to have anyone in their rotation, maybe unless you want to say Waiters, who, you know, is kind of going to be a real detriment. And if he can rein it in, maybe he could be okay.
You're talking about, like, they might not start Waiters and Kanter together.
Oh, no, I bet you Steven Adams starts over Kanter.
I hope so.
We'll see. Maybe not. But I think they want to, like, get him some post touches and stuff against the second unit. So, but, man, 58 wins is a high, high number. And I think ultimately I will go under with the idea that they certainly have the potential to far exceed that.
I'm pretty comfortable with the under, acknowledging that at their best, they're far better than that. You know, at their best, this is a team that wins in the 60s, no questions asked. Like, that's how good they are.
Yeah. And we also don't know what the coaching change is going to do, right?
Right.
Billy Donovan could well be an upgrade,
yeah,
on Scott Brooks. We don't know. But, yeah, I mean, he may end up playing Kanter and Waiters too much. That could just drag down Kanter on defense and Waiters on offense, these great players that they have. So that's another reason to maybe think that it's a little bit under. There's just a lot of things that kind of could go wrong. And then there's also both Westbrook and Durant have missed significant time over the past 2 years. So you think that it's possible that could happen to them again? Westbrook obviously plays that really hard charging style.
They're also a team that it's very hard for them to improve during the season. They're already in the tax. They have an ownership that's been very reticent to spend, and there aren't many players on their team that they can really
trade. They used up two future draft picks already.
Exactly.
Too.
So I think that it's just far more likely that they don't do it. And with them, you don't have to even couch it because they're so good when they're healthy that, you know, they can do it. I just don't see that as a likely outcome. Their title odds are 6-1.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think that's a little bit stronger than I would like it, but I think you can make an argument that a full strength Thunder team is the biggest threat to the Warriors.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. If they really hit on all cylinders, because the Warriors just don't have anybody to stop Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that is their weakness.
And Westbrook is also too quick for Klay Thompson and too strong for Steph Curry.
Yeah, they just are built in the way that a Warriors team has struggled with, and that's why they've had so many great games over the years and the few times that they've been healthy. And they were having another one of those before Maurice Spates stepped in to take the stupidest charge of the last decade and cost Kevin Durant half a season.
What's next?
Next, the Phoenix Suns, a team we might disagree on, 36.5.
Another one that didn't particularly strike me either way. I will go over for them, though.
I'm going under. I don't believe that...
You're such a pessimist.
I don't believe that the team we saw after the trade deadline is good enough to win a ton of games, and...
Yeah, Brandon Knight only played like 3 games, though.
Yeah, but I just don't... I don't see their... You know, I'm not saying like, oh, they were scrubs or anything like that. I think it's going to be hard, and... that you have the issue that their small forward position is very nebulous. I like T.J. Warren, but I don't think he's the guy yet, and I think they're going to play a lot of P.J. Tucker. I guess they like
He's a tough fit, T.J. Warren.
And then other than Markieff Morris, they don't have power forwards. This is, you know, they have Mirza Teletovic. Teletovic is more of a, I think of him as a fourth big. I think that's being fair to him.
I think if he's healthy, he's actually a little underrated defensively. I also think that hopefully Tucker could slide up and play some four as like a light Draymond Green type who can shoot a little bit and also, you know, switch on the perimeter. I think this team could actually be better defensively than people think.
I think they could be better defensively too. Tyson Chandler is, they have the guys to have a defensive identity. I think their offense is going to be worse. I just don't see it on that end. I think that they'll be... You know, I could totally see them winning more games than that. Heck, they won 39 last year, but this is one of those I'm not comfortable with the under, but I still think it's going to be under.
Yeah, I'm not exactly like racing to Vegas to put in my money on the over either, but I think Chandler is going to help them. Now, Hornacek's in the last year of his contract. They could very easily implode completely, especially, you know, Markieff now says, hey, I don't want to be traded. I'm going to be here, blah, blah. You don't know what to make of that. Probably very little, frankly, since he seems to feel very strongly about wanting to be traded only a couple months ago. But, and he's not the first person to ask for a trade away from this organization of late. But I think there's enough talent here that 36.5 is just too low. Portland, is that next?
Portland, 26.5. I want you to go first on this one because I've struggled. This is actually the hardest one in the West for me.
Well, let's try and break it down a little bit. What do you think they're going to rank in defense?
I think bottom 10.
Clearly bottom 10. Are they bottom 5? I mean, they've got Aminu. They've got Gerald Henderson, but he may not be ready to start the year.
Ed Davis is okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's too skinny and not really like
that. They have the Bofo rim protection of Myers Leonard and Miles Plumlee. Mason
Plumlee. Yeah, and are they going to play Leonard at the four?
I think they will.
Kevin Pelton did his great player, capsules, I guess, for ESPN. He started those with the Northwest. He thinks Leonard's actually better at the four defensively. I don't agree with him just because I think he's too slow. So I think at least it's a... He doesn't have the physical tools to be good at the four, which he does at the five, even though he's not yet. But whatever way you slice it, they're going to have some really bad defense at the big positions. McCollum and Damian Lillard might be the worst starting defensive backcourt in the league. You could throw in the Lakers there too. But yeah, I think this is a bottom five team in defense, bottom seven almost certainly. So now, what do you think they're going to do? Do on offense? I think they could be better than
middle of the road.
I think they could actually be like 12th or 13th in offense. Lillard, his shooting really bends things. McCollum, I think, can become a plus offensive player a little bit if he can continue his shooting, especially from downtown. Leonard, his spacing could be really helpful. Vonleh, if he plays, his spacing could be helpful as well at the four. Mason Plumlee is a great pick and roll guy. That's the one thing that he does really well offensively, and Lillard has never really had a guy like that who can get up for alley-oops. So I actually think this could be an above average offensive team, even though they don't have anyone you think of as a star outside of Lillard. They just will have enough shooting and competence around him. But they also are going to have incentive to kind of tank their draft pick as well, since this is a clear rebuilding mode. I'm going to go over. I don't feel great about it, but I didn't see them winning, like, you know, 29 games this year.
I'm going to go over too, and the reason is that I spent a little bit thinking about, well, what if Lillard misses games? Because I think they struggle to beat anybody.
Oh, that'd be a complete disaster. But they also have, like, I mean, they don't really have an established backup point guard.
It's
Frazier.
Or C.J. McCollum, which would be adventurous in its own way.
Yeah, I don't think he's a point guard.
I don't think so either. Yeah. But Lillard has played 82 games and every one of all three of his NBA seasons, so knock on wood. I don't think that it's not like Anthony Davis where, you know, you kind of say, oh, well, if he misses 10 games, that's not going to be a surprise. So the team that I kind of started thinking about to give me context for them when I was struggling with it was Orlando. So Orlando was bottom six in offense and defense and won 25 games last year. And they were outscored by about 6 points a game, a little under six. I think that this Portland team is going to be better than Orlando was last year. Not much, but a little bit. And that difference, I think, is enough to make me bet the over.
Spurs. What are they at?
Do you want to guess if you don't remember?
Oh, I think I do remember. I think it was like 58.5, right?
You got it. That's a high number.
Yeah, I'll go under just because I don't think that it... And that's not an indictment of their team quality. It's just, I think, what they're kind of... their mentality is these days.
Yeah, and if Tony Parker is anything less, they're going to struggle. You and I have talked offline and maybe on the podcast. Yeah, we have talked on the podcast about that potential weakness of them with creation. But, you know, if they stay relatively healthy, they'll do it. But I also don't think that they care too much about that. And the way that they win, like, let's say, like 62 or 64, to me is a narrower path than that they win 55. And if they win 55, I think they're thrilled. So I'll bet the under.
Oh, I don't know about thrilled. I think they're...
Yeah,
it's
going
to be close.
Yeah.
I think they'll be okay with it.
They would live with it.
Yeah, I think they'll be, you know, 56 to 58. And maybe you can argue that they learned a little bit of a lesson last year. I don't think so. But they lost that last game to the Pelicans, right? And... if they had won that, they would have been the 2 seed. They probably would have made it to the Western Conference Finals. But instead, they lost to the Clippers. They lost that Game 7, that classic game. And they had to play the Clippers to begin with in the first round. So this whole, hey, you know, nothing really matters until the playoffs. Well, I think they kind of proved that might not necessarily be the case last year. Also, another thing to keep in mind, Kawhi Leonard always seems to miss some time. Danny Green always seems to miss some time. Manu always seems to miss some time. So, and they don't have a ton of depth on the wing. It's really just, you know, maybe Kyle Anderson, if you think he's ready, I don't, but.
I don't.
I'm not sure if he'll ever be ready, especially defensively, but.
He won't be defensively.
So that's That's another reason I would lean a little bit towards the other. Parker, too, could miss some time as well. They don't really have much going on as a third point guard, you know, the way they did when they had Joseph and Patty Mills as well in previous years. Yeah, under. I think it's the under.
I was just thinking it feels like just yesterday that we were spending an hour and a half on the last 4 minutes of those last two Clippers-Spurs games.
That's weird. To me, it seems like it was forever ago. I don't even remember how the heck we used to do those podcasts where we would, like, go through every possession and break down the excruciating minutiae.
Well, you better get ready because we're going to do that for Bucks Magic.
Is that on opening night?
Oh, I have no idea. I was just picking two names out of a hat of a game that I thought you would hate. I just thought you'd be – I was sitting there and was trying to make you sad. Speaking of making me sad, Utah, without Dante Exum, 40.5.
Well, you skipped Sacramento.
Oh, crap, I did. Sacramento's before San Antonio. Alphabetically.
Are they?
Yeah. CNN. But anyway, Sacramento, 30.5.
Oh, yeah. You know what's weird? I'm looking at the Roto World rosters that are theoretically in alphabetical order. But for some reason, San Antonio is before Sacramento on that.
Hopefully someone from there listens to our wonderful podcast. Not that it matters what the order is.
All right, let's do Sacramento.
Yes, absolutely.
What are they, 29.5?
30.5.
30.5. And they won 29 last year.
Correctamundo.
I'd go over.
I really like the over. And people who understand that I hated their offseason, they're a much better team than that. They got better talent-wise. They missed... They're an Indian burial ground team. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. They fired their coach. They had a cranky player. Cousins missed time. And they won 29 games. I think it's exceedingly likely that they win more than they did last year.
Yeah, and Cousins missed a bunch of games as well. Struggled with some injuries. Rudy Gay missed a bunch of time down the end of the year with a concussion. I think some knee issues. Darren Collison missed basically like the last 30 games of the year with that torn hip flexor. And they're going to have a lot more depth this year. It's true. And, you know, I do worry about Rondo and then the playing two centers together. I think they're going to be better defensively this year for sure.
But like you worry about Rondo, but if Rondo is basically replacing Ray McCallum, I'm not as worried about Rondo in terms of their win total.
Right. Ray McCallum, who is starting for them for a good portion of the year. So, yeah, I think it looks pretty good. And a lot of this line being so low is just, oh, the Kings, they made all these moves and so much turmoil, blah, blah. But no, I think they can, and especially Carl having had a full training camp, I still think he's a good coach. So, yeah, I like the over pretty well. I think that they're really, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they were really in playoff contention this year. You know, I mean, my prediction for them would probably be, you know, 34 to 36 wins is what I was kind of thinking would be it for them.
Yeah, I think we're about the same. Anything else you want to say on the Kings?
No. All right, Utah, 40.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going over. I'm not super enthused about it because they have maybe more question marks than almost anybody, not because their defense is going to be great, but Trey Burke is really their only point guard that has any
history. He can't be any worse than he was last year, though.
That's true. And and they also had, you know, they had half a season last year saddled with the Enes Kanter experience. And they have now they'll play Rudy Gobert starter minutes the whole year, assuming he stays healthy. Gobert and Favors, I think, are going to be monstrous together. I like so much of this team, and I wish they had Exum, but I feel pretty comfortable that I'm feeling better about it now, just thinking about their team, mostly because their team just makes me smile.
So what are you going then?
Over. I'm happy with the over.
Would you like to guess, actually, it's not going to be much of a guess because we're already talking about them. This team had the fourth best net rating in the league after trading Kanter.
Wow.
6.9.
I didn't know it was that good.
Net rating.
Nice. Wow. That's crazy good.
94.8 defensive rating after the All-Star break. Which is, and Ben Dowson and I were talking about this yesterday, so I've been a little more focused on them than you have because we did that preview a couple days ago. But that's pretty remarkable. That 94.8 defensive rating, he said, would be the best over a full season other than three teams since the turn of this century. So I don't expect them to be that good, but that's like 4 points better than the next best defense. And, you know, and even if they only have a top five defense this year, that to me, I mean, they're not going to have a bottom five offense. They're actually 15th in offense this team last year. I think Quinn Snyder is a great coach. It's hard for me to see how they are going to finish less than 500. I really like the over with this team. They won 38 a year ago. And I think they have all young guys who I think can get better. You know, there obviously are some scenarios. If Gordon Hayward gets hurt, they're in big, big trouble offensively. But I like this team, and I think point guard is certainly a concern. But they've got Alec Burks back now. He can maybe help out a little bit, at least with the playmaking, if not actually being the point guard. And I think Burke can at least be a little bit better. They might miss Dante Exum defensively at the point, but probably not too much with that awesome defensive front court. I mean, think about this team, right? Ben and I were talking about this the other day. Hayward, Gobert, and Favors are all top 10 players at their position.
Absolutely.
So you've got that kind of firepower in the front court. Yeah, I think this is
and
my
they have,
pick to
and
be
Rod
the
Hood
eighth
too.
Seed. This is definitely my pick to be the eighth seed. And yeah, and Ronnie Hood, once he got healthy, he played really well last year as well. And their coaching, I think, is just so good. Mm-hmm. And I think another year in Snyder's system with all these same guys, they got great continuity too. That's another thing to consider. The only guy I think on this team who's really going to regress is maybe Trevor Booker.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, question for you. What do you think that the difference in wins between the Jazz and the Grizzlies ends up this year?
Well, like five. I think Utah is probably going to – on their preview podcast the other day, I picked them for 45 wins. So I this would be one of them. Their over would be one of my best bets.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can see how it could fall apart a little bit for them just because I think they're dependent on a few guys, but I like them too. But didn't you have Memphis under 50 wins?
What did I say the difference would be?
Five.
Well, maybe that. Well, isn't it 50 and a half for Memphis?
Yeah. Oh, you think they're going to be pushing on it like that?
Well, now that I've boxed myself into this corner and I can still be technically consistent, yes, that's exactly what I think.
There we go. I'm very pleased with that ending up that way.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we've done all the teams now. Do you want to do five favorites?
Well, let's talk about the title odds, too. For me, I would say Golden State at 9-2 is my best on the board, East or West.
Yeah.
And then my best long shot, East or West, is Houston at 20-1.
I'm disappointed a little bit that we agree on those, but those lines are outside of what they should be. So that's fine.
I think so. Yeah, and
it's not hard to sell me on Houston being a title team. I mean, they're not the best team. I mean, I don't even think they're in. I have said that the top group to me is three teams that aren't them, but I can totally see it. I don't have any trouble with that.
Yeah, nor do I. All right. I'll give you my best bet among everybody is the Charlotte over 32.5. What would you say your number one best bet is?
Same. It shouldn't be that low. You know, that was the only one when I saw it, I looked at it and went, that seems impossible. Like, I thought it might be a mistake.
Why do you think it is so low?
Because they're a team that doesn't really inspire a lot of casual interest, so they get the reverse bump. They're also not geographically close to Vegas, and
what about a non-betting reason? Is there?
They were horrible early last year.
Yeah,
I think if you were people who have that image in their head of, you know, Lance and just no spacing, and they have a lot of guys that have injury concerns. They have a lot of guys who missed time last year, but this was a team that was stronger in defense than anybody would have expected the year they made the playoffs, and they have better defensive talent now by a pretty large degree than they did then.
They did have a little bit worse of a net rating. I think they're in like a negative 3.9 or something like that than you would expect given their record. But they were just – a lot of that was just – they just got so destroyed. I mean, they were just getting blown out in the beginning of the year, that first month of the season. And I think Marvin Williams, who is probably the other big sink on this team, he's going to play a lot less this year. Lance is gone. So, yeah, I think that is my best bet for sure. All right, what's your number two?
My number two is one we just discussed, the Sacramento Kings.
Interesting. I'm not going to go that hard. I will go with Utah as my number two.
Okay, Utah's on my list too, but they're not next. My next is the Knicks under.
So that's your number three is the Knicks
yes.
under? You like the Knicks under better than the Lakers under?
Oh, yeah, because it's harder for me to see a path. Like, I could see the Lakers, you know, making a move or doing something like that. I could see them panicking. The Knicks have no assets. Like, what are they going to – the only thing they could do is trade Carmelo, but I'm not sure that – I'm pretty confident that won't make them better in the short term.
Yeah, that's a reasonable point. Yeah, I think like Knicks and Lakers under are both in the mix for me. And yeah, that Sacramento over is not bad either. I think, yeah, I'll go with the Knicks under as well, for my number three.
Okay.
And all right, what's your number four?
Houston over.
Houston over.
I'm crazy high on this team.
All right, that's a stay away for me a little bit, just because it's such a high note. 54.
Actually, now that I think about it, I should put the Spurs, the Jazz over in front of that, because that's
you're going four. That's your
four is the Jazz, five is the Rockets,
and then five is the Rockets over.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for my number four with the Lakers under. I think just it has shown that you cannot go wrong betting against the Knicks and Lakers organizations over these last few years. And especially I think that these lines are a little bit inflated by the fact that they have large fan bases who like to bet a little bit. So that'll be my fourth. And then I will go with that Sacramento over, number five, as mine. And we'll see. So. And then we both agree on the two best title bets. So give me, allocate your $100 between these bets.
Okay, so
you have to put at least $10 on all of them.
Oh, okay. Mine had a 15 and a 5, but I can shuffle that a little bit.
All right, no, that's fine. You can put it $5. We'll make okay.
And it's only for one of them. So basically, the logic that I used, I thought about just throwing a lot more on Charlotte just because I'm so confident in that. But what I realized is you get better odds, you get better payout with the Warriors. And so if the goal is to pay out, so what I ended up with was $50 on Charlotte, $30 on the Warriors, $15 on Sacramento.
And the Warriors is to win the championship.
To win the championship. Because it was 9-2, correct?
Yeah.
So that pays out better. And then $15 on Sac over and $5 on the Knicks under.
$15 Sac over. And $5 on the Knicks under. Correct. All right. That's this will be interesting. $50 on Charlotte, huh? I mean, if I really feel that confident, all right, I'm going to go $40 Charlotte over. I'm going to go $40 Utah over. And then 10 on Knicks under. And then 5 on my remaining two, Lakers under and Sac over.
So basically, my understanding is it depends on whether the Warriors win the title. Because if the Warriors... Well,
why are we that similar on the other ones?
Well, I mean, because basically we have, because that would pay me out. So if I put 30 on that, I think that would, you know, so that pays off 4.5.
If Utah doesn't hit, I'll be in big trouble. That's $40 for me. So
that's true. This will be fun though, because everything is different enough that considering how similar we put a lot of stuff, I think it's interesting that where we put our money was so different. Except for
yeah. Me. All right. Well, that's interesting. I will. I'm going to post that. Our fake betting. We are not using real money on this, by the way, but just as a way to gauge the accuracy of our predictions. I'll post these results on my Facebook page, and then we can see who ends up winning. The rooting against the Warriors to win the championship is going to be kind of too bad, but oh well. I didn't grow up in the Bay Area. I can handle it.
I will note for the record that I didn't grow up a Warriors fan either. But that's because I didn't grow up having an NBA allegiance anyway. So.
Because you just didn't grow up?
Yeah. That's mean, Nate.
We are living somewhat Peter Pan-like existences here. Just
of
know,
course we are.
Sitting around and talking about NBA basketball. All right, let's call it quits then. Thanks so much for listening. Follow me on Twitter, Nate Duncan NBA. Danny is Danny LaRue. You got anything to plug, by the way, Danny?
Well, I did two podcasts in the last week. I did one with Kevin Pelton, one with Sirit Sohi. I was proud of
both. The Pelton one is good. Listen to that one.
Well, thank you. And I also wrote up Stephen Curry for the B-ball breakdown thing, and basically what ended up being a part of it was me digging out all these ridiculous Stephen Curry shooting stats, which I enjoyed doing a lot. And yeah, so that's really it. And it's been, you know, I'm going to keep going with season previews on Real Jam Radio now, making the turn from talking about the offseason to talking about the season, like you did yesterday.
All right, yeah. And here on Dunked On, we're going to be trying to make it through all 30 teams before the season starts. We're going to have plenty of content. So download the Dog Catcher app and just listen at 1.5 speed because you're going to want to get through all of them. Or just listen to your favorite team, whatever you want to do. They'll all be aggregated on Real GM. There's a page for all the previews. So that'll be starting in earnest very shortly. You can keep up with my writing on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NateDuncanNBA. Go to DraftKings, have some fun this weekend. Use the cap space code, all one word. That really helps out the podcast. iTunes rating or comment. Also, another way to support the pod if you're not inclined to use one of the sponsors. And that's it. Keep listening. We got lots more coming. Talk to you all next time.